The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Morning.
Can you tell us about this hacking story which broke overnight about the Ministry of Defence?
Yes, it seems that somebody has hacked into the personal details of British Armed Forces personnel, including their names and their bank account details. It seems to be a hostile state, but intriguingly, the British government hasn't named, and we're not expecting them to name, who they think did it. Although the widespread expectation is this was a Chinese hack, the latest in a series of Chinese-linked hacks of the British state and British parliamentarians and so on. But it's curious that they haven't named China so far as being responsible for this, but we're expected to hear more about that in the House of Commons later.
Now, they hacked personnel files with all those details, but not from the MOD mainframe computer, but rather from that of a contractor.
Yeah, that's right. So there'll definitely be questions asked about the security levels being used by this contractor, obviously handling very sensitive information. It has to be said that, you know, this is the kind of hack one would expect hostile states to be undertaking. So obviously the levels of security will need to be enhanced on that. And also, you know, when we hear about these things and we hear about Chinese hacks quite frequently over here, it has to be borne in mind that everybody, of course, hacks everyone else and spies on everyone else. So it shouldn't come as any great surprise to anyone.
Now, do they not name China? Because if they name China, they have to do something about China. And the question is, what to do about China?
That is part of the problem, I guess. That I suppose you could say that by naming China, you let your potential adversaries know what you know and give them some clues. But I don't think that's really it. Certainly, Britain, like all Western countries, has to calibrate its relationship with China. Rishi Sunak, the British Prime Minister, is under constant pressure from conservative right wingers to toughen up his stance on China, to cut China out of supply chains altogether, and so forth. But, you know, Britain needs Chinese investment. Britain is reliant on Chinese equipment, including for the green transition, and frankly needs a trading relationship with China. So Britain, like most other countries, gets quite vexed about this kind of thing, while at the same time continuing to trade with China on non-security critical bits of equipment and industrial products.
Because last week there was a story that the UK was using some Chinese components in weaponry it was supplying to Ukraine.
Yeah, it's that is one of the paradoxes of this, that the Chinese often make stuff that we are absolutely dependent on. It wasn't very long ago that we were inviting a Chinese company, Huawei, to put in the equipment for Britain's 5G telecoms rollout. Now, that's now been stopped under pressure from the Americans. But, you know, until very recently, Britain had a pretty much an open access all areas approach to China, including we currently have Chinese investment going to a new nuclear power station in Somerset. So, you know, we've had to sort of turn on a dime a bit here in the UK, where we want to be China's best partner in the West under David Cameron's government, sort of nearly 10 years ago, I suppose, now, to being a much more sceptical one. But we still do a lot of trade with China.
Political cynics might say this information is being released now to get the election results off the front pages and put China firmly there.
Yeah, there may be an element of that. The timing of it is unusual for sure. It's the day when Conservative MPs come back to the House of Commons after a long bank holiday weekend. They'll have spent the weekend digesting some absolutely disastrous local election results from last Thursday. The results have dribbled in over 48 hours, compounding the agony for Rishi Sunak, and there are a lot of very disgruntled Conservative MPs around. Not so disgruntled, I should say, that they are talking about removing Rishi Sunak, which would be a strange thing to do just a few months out from a general election, but certainly people who think he needs to take a different approach.
So will he hang on in there until time runs out for him, simply because nobody wants to go to the polls, and the talk, certainly in Labour circles, would be, and in some senior Conservative circles, that no Tory seat might be safe?
Well, I think Rishi Sunak will be leading the Conservative Party into the general election. We now expect that to be in the autumn, probably in October or November. That, from Rishi Sunak's point of view, gives him 3 or 4 months more time for better economic news to come through. I mean, to be honest, the idea of removing another prime minister, we're already on to our third Tory prime minister of this parliament after Boris Johnson and Liz Truss, and now Rishi Sunak. Removing another one before an election just seems to be absolutely bonkers. So they don't seem to be prepared to do that. But as you say, no prime minister would choose to go to the polls now when you've just been given a complete battering in the local elections and when your national opinion poll ratings are showing you about 20 points behind the opposition Labour Party. So he's going to play it long. Lots of people just think, you know, he'd be better off just ripping off the plaster and going to the country now. But to be honest, all prime ministers think things are going to get better rather than worse.
Looking at the overall elections, George, are there other straws in the wind? The rise of the Green Party, George Galloway making much of a showing, the whole reform movement maybe taking Tory votes away, particularly those on the extreme right?
Well, yeah, I mean, the headline's been dominated, obviously, by the Labour Party doing very well, winning 10 out of 11 mayoralties, winning a parliamentary by-election in Blackpool, basically sort of beating the Conservatives in a whole load of areas they'll need to win at the general election. But behind that, there are other interesting subplots. So the Liberal Democrats, the third party, have been making big gains against the Conservatives in the south of England. And they're basically sort of playing a tag team with Labour. They're both anti-Tory parties. So you can see the Lib Dems eroding Tory MPs at the next election as well. You mentioned the Greens. They had a good night. They almost seized control of Bristol. They won 34 out of 70 seats on Bristol Council. So they do particularly well in areas with big university populations, slightly alternative cities like Bristol, but that's an impressive performance by them. And then you mentioned Reform UK, the party that Nigel Farage founded. They came third in Blackpool in the by-election there, which they would have hoped to have come second. But in the seats they did contest in local elections, they showed that they were eating into Conservative support. And that's a real worry for Rishi Sunak, that the fact that that Reform UK will be fielding candidates in every parliamentary constituency where there's a Tory standing is a real menace for them, because it means lots of those votes basically just come straight out of the Conservative column.
In summary, would you say there's a sort of a malaise, both a political malaise and a general population malaise over Britain at the moment?
Yeah, I think that's a very fair way to put it. But this is a party, the Conservatives have been in office since 2010, so 14, coming up for almost 15 years. And I think, you know, as with all democracies, there comes a time when governing parties become exhausted, the public are just bored with them. You often speak to Tory MPs who say that the public have stopped listening. It's almost like they put their fingers in their ears. Whatever Rishi Sunak says or does, they're not listening. And sometimes you just need to clear things out. And there are often people say there's a time for a change election or more of the same, we're on the right track, don't turn back. This feels like it's going to be a time for a change election.
George Parker, political editor with the Financial Times. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.